Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The Apostle Paul wrote 2 loving letters, or epistles, to the church in Thessalonica. In these 2 letters, he repeats himself quite often, just as a loving father would, in nurturing and teaching his children. These letters cover many points, but clearly the theme of both is for the believers to live a holy life for the church. But these were new believers, most of which came out of a sinful and worldly background just 1 year before. So how is it possible that the apostle could have such a high expectation of them? Because he was clear that their faith, love, and hope would grow in a vital and living way and bring them on to a salvation in sanctification, just as is fitting for each of us today. Bob Danker has joined us as we begin our final program in this life study of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Bob, glad you could be here.
It's good to be back, Chris. These 2 epistles, as you said, are very loving, very tender, and yet very nurturing. Paul speaks about salvation to these Thessalonian believers who were very new in the Christian faith.
Mm-hmm.
They had had a beginning through being regenerated by the Spirit when Paul preached the gospel to them. But Paul realized that their initial salvation was not the end or the goal.
Right.
It was only the beginning. And so he wrote to them these 2 times to encourage them to go on in the process of their full salvation. And there he mentions some very precious things and even repeats himself, as
yeah.
you said,
yeah.
Like a loving father would, to ensure that they would be impressed with the points that he was trying to make with them. And these points are to encourage them to go onward with the Lord to reach the goal of their salvation for the building up of the church.
He begins the 2 books almost word for word the same. Verse 1 of chapter 1 in both books is nearly identical. I think there's 1 word that changes, if I'm not mistaken, Bob. But it more than that, he is repeating these common themes regarding their faith and their love and their hope. We saw these as the 3 basic structures, I believe Witness Lee termed them, as he presents this matter of their full salvation in the context of their living in the church life in that time. And it's important to keep these books, I think, in this context all along the way, isn't it?
That's right. When we receive the gospel, something is put into us, and this is our faith by which we believe in the Lord, and
mm-hmm.
we receive him by faith.
Right.
Then, after the Lord comes into us as life, he begins to grow in us, and we express this life through love. We love him. We love the believers. And Paul was very concerned that the love of the Thessalonian believers would grow and increase all the time. He wanted their faith to be perfected, and he wanted their love to increase all the time, which means that the life they received through believing in Christ would grow in them
mm-hmm.
and would be fully manifested in this divine love with which they would love the Lord and one another. So this is a marvelous thing. And of course, these 2 matters, faith and love, bring us to hope. And we saw that our hope as Christians is the Lord's coming and our rapture to meet with him in the air. This is a living hope that this faith and this life we have received, which is expressed in love, brings us
right.
to this living hope.
In chapter 4 of the first book, of course, he gets into this matter of the Lord's coming and the rapture in a rather general way. Then the following chapter brings us to a verse that has become very key through this entire study of both the books. In chapter 5, verse 23, he said, "And the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly." And the holy there is the W-H-O-L-L-Y. Sounds about the same as the H-O-L-Y, but this means completely, right? May your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete, without blame, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's clear from this, Bob, to me that not just motivated by the desire to give them some interesting information about, you know, these end time events that occupy Christians so much, but more to motivate them to be prepared when he comes, right?
Exactly, Chris. This is really a marvelous verse. It shows that Paul wanted them, by the time the Lord came back, and of course this coming of the Lord is our hope, but between now and that coming, we need to go on in the process of being sanctified so that our entire being, our spirit, our soul, and our body is sanctified completely and preserved complete and without blame at the time of the Lord's coming. So we're not waiting passively for Christ to come. We're actively cooperating with the indwelling Christ, who is the Spirit within us, to allow him to do the sanctifying work that will cause us to be sanctified completely in all three parts of our being, and that is what prepares us for his coming.
Well, as this is our final program, we thought it would be a good summary, I guess, sort of a distillation of the main points, to look at this matter of sanctification as it applies to these three parts of our being that we just read in chapter 5, verse 23. Now, yesterday, we had a kind of a special program. We set it aside and really focused on this matter of man being a tripartite being, being of three components as opposed to two components, just physical and a non-physical part, the body and soul. Maybe for the sake of those who weren't with us yesterday, review this very quickly, Bob, this matter of these two situations or these two ways man is often considered in light of Scripture, either as a trichotomy or as a dichotomy.
That's right, Chris. Many teachers of the Bible consider that man is only of two parts, a physical part and a non-physical part, or a psychological part. But the Bible is very clear that man is three parts, tripartite, we say. Man has a physical body, that is true. Man has a soul, a psychological part, that is also true. And, of course, we realize this psychological part mainly in our thoughts, our mind,
right,
and our emotions, our feelings,
right,
and our will, and our making decisions.
Uh-huh.
These are the three parts of our soul. But the Bible is so clear that man, in addition to having a body and a soul, man has a spirit deep within him, created by God so that man could contact God and receive God, and God could enter into man and sanctify man in all his three parts.
This sanctification is linked to the word salvation in this book and in the entire revelation of the New Testament. Sanctification and salvation very closely related. I hope that gets clear before we're through today. In the second section today, and we only have two portions of Witness Lee, the second one, he will bring up this metaphor, I guess, of salvation likened to a long, expansive bridge. And it's a process that is transporting us out of our old state in the old creation, dead in sin, the way God found us at the moment before we received him. But that is just the beginning of this long process called salvation. And at the other end of the bridge, Bob, is the new creation, ultimately the new Jerusalem.
Marvelous.
It's a great picture by which to consider salvation, and not just a once-for-all, one-moment-in-time event, but something that is really involving us day by day, isn't it?
That's right. It's very important for us to understand this and to realize that our full salvation is a process.
All right. With all of that, let's join Witness Lee with this first portion as we really enjoy this matter of being sanctified holy.
There's two books of eight chapters are just on one thing, the holy life for the church life. And how to carry such a life? No other way but to be sanctified holy. Now, in the first book, in the last two chapters, 3, 4, and 5, you have holiness mentioned for our heart to be established blameless in holiness. Then you have sanctification as a sanctifying process mentioned, right? In chapter 4, to preserve or to keep your body in the sanctifying process. That is sanctification. Then you have sanctification mentioned as a whole in chapter 5. May the God of peace sanctify you wholly. Now, in the repeated second epistle, he gives us a concluding concept of sanctification. God chose you in the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, unto what? Unto salvation. Salvation in sanctification of the Spirit. You have to realize salvation is not so simple. If you would ask me, brotherly, have you been saved? I would say, what? I have been saved. I'm still being saved. And I will be saved.
Amen.
And eventually I will be wholly, fully, thoroughly saved. I'd like to ask you, how much have you been saved? You have to say, brotherly, honestly speaking, I know I have been saved. But I surely cannot tell you how much I've been saved. But I do know I need to be saved a lot more.
Amen.
And this means I have participated in God's salvation in a small part. But I need to participate in God's salvation much more, much more, much, much more. You see, this is why Paul says here, God has chosen us in time past unto what? Unto a salvation.
Well, Bob, it's possible that our Calvinistic friends out there and our Arminian friends are both gnashing their teeth and pulling their hair out because we just heard something that doesn't fit into so neatly into either of these theological boxes, does it? But it sure matches, I think, our experience. I know I've been saved, but I am being saved, and I will be saved.
That's right, Chris. This is a marvelous view of salvation. Salvation is not just a matter of being saved from God's eternal judgment, which we all, everyone who believes in the Lord, receives that salvation, the eternal salvation. But in addition to that, we need to experience a daily salvation, even a moment-by-moment salvation that actually transforms our whole being. At the time that we believe in the Lord, we are regenerated, we are reborn, we are like a newborn child.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly, this is not the end. We need a long process. A child needs to grow to reach maturity. And we, the children of God, are no different. After being regenerated, our greatest need is to have this new life which we have received through faith,
right,
to grow in us to maturity. And this is not a short process. In fact, it is a lifelong process. I would say Witness Lee, even at the end of his life, would probably say the same thing. I have been saved, I am right now being saved, and I will be saved. This salvation is lifelong, and in the process of this salvation, our whole being is sanctified. It is saturated and permeated with the divine element of God Himself through the indwelling Spirit. This is a slow process, a daily process, that needs to go on and on for weeks, months, and years, and decades, and before it can be fully completed. So we need to have our view of salvation somewhat revised.
Right.
Of course, we do believe there is eternal salvation, but we also believe that there's salvation in God's economy that makes us a reproduction of Christ as the firstborn Son of God. And this salvation is by life, by the Spirit, saturating us little by little for our whole life.
Ultimately, God will not be satisfied with anything less, will He?
That's right.
it seems that the focus that you sense the urgency at times in Paul's writings. Later on, I think in Peter's to some degree, when he comes back to his epistles, he seemed to get more clear about this matter as time went on. And probably he got a lot of help from Paul as well. And by the end, even in John's writings at the end, in Revelation, there is this kind of urgency propelling us, the believers, on in the matter of maturity, growth in life, development in the spiritual life. And the word that the Bible used to describe this is sanctification. Say a little bit about sanctification. It has a kind of a traditional meaning to most people, but in view of the whole New Testament revelation, Bob, what is it really pointing at?
Well, sanctification has two aspects, Chris. The first aspect is a kind of positional aspect. It means to be separated from that which is common unto God. When God sanctifies us, He separates us to Himself from the world, mm-hmm. from our sinful life of the past, from everything that is not God Himself. So positionally, we need to be separated. But then there's another aspect, and that's a dispositional aspect. And that is something that takes place within us in an intrinsic and an organic way. We need to be not only separated outwardly to God from everything that is contrary to God,
right.
but we need to be permeated inwardly with God's element, with His life, His nature, His holy nature, so that we can be holy intrinsically, inwardly, just as God is holy. God's desire is not just that we have a sort of outward separation from the world. God's desire is that we would have an inward saturation with His holy nature to make us holy, even as He is holy.
And this sanctification process takes place on this bridge of salvation. At the starting point, very clearly, the first stage is our regeneration, which is certainly based upon the redemptive work of Christ. And then the spark of divine life is imparted into our being in that moment. Faith is first exercised. The culmination of this bridge is what we'll talk about, Bob, when we come back. And here's Witness Lee for our final segment in this life study of 1 and 2 Thessalonians.
We were fallen, and we were dead in sin. But God came. God came to regenerate us. So we began to participate in God's salvation. And this salvation has a long way to go. And this long way, you have to know, is just a long bridge. We all know a bridge is a span. And this span begins from regeneration. It will consummate in glorification. And this regeneration is a matter once for all. Just like the human birth, once I got it, I will never lose it. But where are you today on this bridge? Do you know how far you have been saved? It depends how much you have been sanctified. Last night, I was very much sanctified. Now, why this morning I lost my temper? My goodness, surely my mind and my emotion and my will all backslide. So this morning, I become no more that much sanctified. You see? But suppose I will reject this little demon. Right away, this rejection would help me to recover the very extent of sanctification. I got much further saved. If I would go along with that little demon, then the next day I come back to minister, you all can realize, something wrong with this speaking brother. But if I rejected that little demon and I come back, when I say, hey, something within me sanctified, strengthened. What is this? This is sanctification. Could you see? How much you have been saved, it depends upon how much you have been sanctified. God's salvation on us is in a process. It's something going on. It has a beginning. Just like our human life. When we were born, at that very moment, your life began. But that's not the consummation. That's just the beginning. God's salvation is just like this. We often check with ourselves how much I have been saved. Now, these two books were written in an elementary way. Don't forget, even in elementary writings, there are basic elements. Salvation is basic. Sanctification is basic. The Spirit is basic. All these terms referring to basic elements of God's salvation. Salvation in sanctification of the Spirit.
Bob, as we pointed out a moment ago, and we just heard him say, at one end of this bridge is regeneration. That really is the impartation of the divine life into us that launches us on the bridge of salvation, isn't it? But that's not the end.
That's not the end, Chris. At the other end of this bridge, it's a rather long bridge, at the other end is glorification, which is the transfiguration of our physical body. So, actually, regeneration involves our spirit at the beginning of the bridge of salvation. And glorification involves our body at the other end of the bridge of salvation. So this long span must involve our soul, our human being, our mind, emotion, and will. This part of us to be sanctified, to be saved thoroughly by the Lord, requires a long process. And this is why we portray this like a bridge that's crossing from one side to another. And as you said before, at the beginning, we are just regenerated in our spirit, but mainly we are, our soul and our body are still in the old creation. But we are now on this bridge that will carry us fully into the new creation so that our entire being, our spirit, soul, and body will be sanctified, will be saturated and permeated with God's holy element. And that will be the consummation of our full salvation. So once we start this process, we can never go back. We can never lose our regeneration. We can never lose our being born of God. So the only thing left for us to do is to go forward on the bridge of salvation day by day by cooperating, by going along with the sanctifying Spirit who lives in our spirit.
Well, Bob, it's been a very enjoyable day after day to fellowship in this these two books, really, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, written with the basic elements for young believers. But how valuable it's been to hear these things and to have them really developed in us more and constituted into our being more. And thanks for your help. And as always, I hope you'll come back soon. We love having you in the studio with us, Bob.
And I love to be with you, Chris.
Well, our time is up. For Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wild. Thanks so much for listening today.